Hey, Rich Eisen here. I hear from a lot of business owners like you about the work it takes to pursue your passions. So I know how important it is to have the tools that can help keep you moving forward. And with access to world-class business and travel benefits, the American Express Business Platinum Card helps you take your business to the next level. It offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business. Plus, you'll have complimentary access to more than 1,400 airport lounges worldwide, including the Centurion Lounge, so you can keep running your business while you're on the go. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness. Some people just know they could save hundreds on car insurance by checking Allstate first. The same way you know you've got to make sure your lucky jersey is clean on game day or your team might lose. Checking first is smart. So check Allstate first for a quote that could save you hundreds. You're in good hands with Allstate. Savings vary, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Let's go live.
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
The opening of the baseball season.
The season has begun.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
She's gone.
A Stantonian home run.
Out of here. For David Hamilton.
Freddie Freeman. Simply unstoppable.
Today's guests. MLB Network analyst Harold Reynolds. Alabama tight end Robbie Utes. NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero. Comedian and author Chelsea Handler. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's correct. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. I'm wearing mauve.
I thought you'd wear pinstripes today.
And then there's mauve. Great show from the 70s. That's how I started an opening day broadcast.
I mean, come on.
I know. Happy opening day.
I'm so excited.
Are you really?
I really am.
Oh, I can't wait for your hopes to be dashed.
By who?
In millions of pieces.
Not Red Sox. Happen, bro.
I'm going to wear my Red Sox shirt today on the Rich Eisen Show, says Chris Brockman.
What do you mean? Why wouldn't I?
You're a fan.
I am a fan.
I love it.
And I haven't been this excited in a few years, and it's great.
Oh, that's great.
Hope is a good thing.
It springs eternal.
Thank you.
And it'll be great.
It's going to be great.
I can't wait for you.
You don't mean any of
I
that.
I don't.
All right.
First game of the day, Yankees and Brewers.
I mean, I hope you go 0-162. I think that's the way it works.
It goes both ways. First one for our first guest today as well is a man who Dan Patrick referred to over and over again in the halls of Bristol as H.R. Puffin stuff. That's how he referred to Harold Reynolds.
H.R. Puffin stuff.
Because, you know, he's H.R.
You call when things get rough.
He called him H.R. Puffin stuff all the time. Harold Reynolds is.
That's really funny.
It's the truth. Hey, man, I know things. I've been around a while. Harold Reynolds of MLB Network will be joining us. Perfect setup for opening day. And then we've got the greatest mullet in the history of the combine. Robbie Utes, one of the top tight ends in all of football. He'll be joining us. And some of those people you just watch from your seat at the combine, as I'm fortunate to have. And I'm like, I want to talk to this guy.
Yeah.
We already spoke to Ahmed Hassanein after. I'm like, I want to talk to that guy. And that turned out to be a great chat. I'm assuming this chat with Robbie Utes will be great because we have all sorts of other famous mullets we want him to compare himself to.
Right.
Now, some people get on the show because of their excellent football ability, some because of their hair, and some because of both. And Robbie's one of them. Tom Pelissero is another one.
Tommy P.
Ugh. My mom just calls him hair.
Is that right?
I don't even think she knows his
name.
Are
you serious?
He's like hair.
He's got a hairy in hair today. And Chelsea Handler in hour number three. How great is that going to be?
What a show.
We've got, honestly.
Like, I know the lineup popped up. I'm like, that's so
that's
random.
What we do.
Like,
that's what we do.
Those four people would never be on any other show at the same time.
That's what we do.
What type of dinner party would you be at?
Exactly.
Who sits middle chair at that dinner party?
Of our guests today? Chelsea Handler's a middle chair.
Yeah.
She sits middle.
You're right. I agree.
You know?
Plus, you know, you put the lady, be a gentleman, put her in the middle.
Mm.
Sure.
Well, we'll give her a choice of seats.
That's true. She might like third base.
That's right. I don't know.
And speaking of ladies, the latest episode of Women's Sports Now that was recorded here yesterday just popped up on your Roku
portal. Great stuff from the quartet of hosts of that show. And we'll play a great soundbite for you later on their conversation of Juju Watkins going down. As by the way, March Madness renews tonight. Men's Sweet 16 this evening. Quartet of games there. And then the women's Sweet 16 Friday. So we're back. We're back on all that. Good. Well, by the way, hello, Chris. Good to see you.
Hey, Rich, great to see you.
Jay Felly wearing his Dodger hat.
What's up, Rich?
If I'm not mistaken, the Dodgers, I saw on my ESPN news stack today, best odds to, well, worst odds, I guess, biggest favorite to win the World Series since 2002.
Shortest odds,
since the Yankees were trying to go for yet another World Series appearance back then.
Dodgers are essentially like 2-1 to win the World Series.
Since the Yankees dynasty. That the Diamondbacks kind of ended in a way or put a big crimp in. At any rate, hi, Jay.
Hi.
In your Dodger hat. And TJ Jefferson ready. Who are the Mets playing on opening day, TJ?
The Diamondbacks.
Oh, they really? Oh, see, such a big fan doesn't even know. Such a big fan. Who are the Red Sox playing on opening day?
First off, the Mets are playing the Astros.
My bad.
Good job, TJ. Way to be on it.
And the Red Sox are in Texas to play the Rangers.
Yeah, and I know that the Yankees have the first game of the day.
I just knew we were playing today.
And I've got, again, Juan Soto's glove right here.
Listen.
I've got this pair of scissors that I'll be having on.
And Sarah Cage are driving down to San Diego right now.
Hey.
Braves in town to play the Padres.
Are they going on Daniel Jeremiah's tickets?
No, I think DJ and his family are using those.
Oh, they he's got.
We've seen those before.
They're
great.
They're
very nice.
I know.
They're very nice.
Daniel Jeremiah is not messing around.
No.
He is truly the most diehard San Diego Padre fan I know.
100%.
So. All right, table set.
Table set. Let's go.
Listen, nobody in the NFL gets more crap, maybe from peers and fans, quite like Russell Wilson. They don't. Now, you could say he invites it with some of his goofy, you know, sign-offs when he's done with his interviews.
A little bit.
Okay. Yeah. Or, you know.
Why is that goofy? Though?
That he, because it's kind of, it's kind of goofy, you know. Man in his mid-30s using sign-offs and stuff like that.
It's kind of goofy.
We're playing a kid's game.
I know, but it's like, come on. It's also fun.
There's always something.
It can be both.
There's always something with Russ. But the bottom line is it never comes across as malevolent, ever. You know what I mean? It never comes across.
I assume that means mean-spirited or
correct.
Something?
Correct. Okay. Or evil, or there's something, you know, a self-serving. You could call it self-serving, but it's just, as you point, it's him. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, I think he believes it, and like he's not doing it. He thinks it's fun.
I mean, in the same way that people used to make fun of Big Ben for wearing, you know, the ice packs and the ice
and
bags,
the walking boots,
right? And it's just there's an look at me aspect of it, you know. And then there's the stuff with Russ where I don't know of another human in the NFL. People talk about, in all seriousness, when they talk about why he's left certain places, you never get the full on, like there's never the full on iceberg. Mm. He's never talked about, like everybody who's come on, and perfect that you guys back in our control room put a Steeler photograph of him up. Because
black and gold, here we go.
Because him, him departing Pittsburgh, how many people have come on here? Jerry Dulac, our second hour guest, Tom Pelissero, Breer.
Yeah.
Okay. Just to name three. Yeah, the Steelers are just, there would have to be some sort of conversation within the building for him to come back. There'd have to be some sort of, you know, some people in the building would need to be convinced of him to come back, as if something happened there, but nobody's ever going to tell you. Same thing in Seattle. There was that deep dive, though, out of Denver from year one to year two there when Sean Payton arrived in between years one and year two, right? Where it was, you know, it was an office that he didn't. He had his own office
upstairs.
Yeah, away from
right. There was all there was. He got something right. We had a. I did a power rankings list once upon a time, tongue firmly planted in cheek, of which NFL quarterbacks' birthday parties would you most want to attend? Yeah. And the impetus of it, the inspiration of it, was the headline that came out of Denver that people didn't go to Russ's birthday party, or they only did to see his house. And that, you know what I mean? Like, there's that stuff that just circles around Russ's orbit the last few years.
And remember, Seattle, even with him and Sherman, there was always some weird kind
of didn't get along with the boom. Yeah. Like, yeah,
I know. And then you see pictures of Russ with all of them.
Right. I don't know.
There's a there that's always been there. With the exception of his birth into the NFL and the years where he just burst on the scene. And we were talking about him legit Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Legit Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm. Probably and one play away, right? From
dude.
Yeah, probably. That's back to back.
Okay, and so now he's on his third team in as many years, and the phrase journeyman could be used, and it's just mind-blowing to me. Mm. Just to talk about him in full general, because he's one to root for. And if there's anybody who has gotten multiple chances in the NFL at being the starting quarterback for a team after being let go by other teams, one dead caps him to the tune of the most dead cap in the history of dead caps, and the other one decides we're just going to wait around for Aaron Rodgers to say yes to us and not stop him from showing up in Cleveland in our division or going to New York. And I don't know if anybody else in the NFL has gotten more opportunities than Russ when you think, is he going to get another one? And now he's got another one. And it's with the Giants, which is as much of a blue blood franchise as the one that he just played for. I mean, the Giants are kind of like the NFC version of Pittsburgh because of how the owners have been friends. They sit next to each other in the owners' meeting room. The Rooneys and the Maras. There's a human being who's named Rooney Mara.
this is true, Rich.
Who people have heard of because she's pretty talented at what she does. And now he goes from the Steelers to the Giants, and he shows up with the Giants yesterday and 100% has every right to say exactly this in his opening presser.
I expect to be the starter and come in here and be ready to rock and roll every day. I think that, you know, to be able to lead, I think this team's really looking for somebody to lead them in every way in terms of the process, you know, in the offseason, during the season, our habits and our thought process and how we create a great winning culture and how do we continue to establish that and to really build on the things that we do well and the things that we continue to need to do. And so I think the big part for me is, just try to this might be my 14th year to be able to lead an amazing group of men that really have, you know, big hopes and goals and dreams and desires, and we all share the same goal. And so I think that's the best part about it is I get to be around a lot of, you know, extremely, extremely talented guys.
I would love nothing more for my Giant fan friends and for him than for him to show up and do exactly what he just said. Because he said the same thing going into Pittsburgh, and he said the same thing going into Denver, that this place needs a different voice, a different way of doing things, and I know how to do it, and I'm a captain. He comes out there with his Walter Payton Man of the Year patch, which only a very handful people have. The only Cam Hayward has it on his team. It's very rare to see two of them on the same field, right? Same sideline. And I understand how fans are like, yeah, I heard that in Denver. How'd that work out? Yeah, I heard that in Pittsburgh. How'd that work out? How it's worked out so poorly for the Giants. This thing's got disaster written all over it, and you never know. You know? You never know. Same thing was said about Kurt Warner when he showed up in New York And I know, you know, Kurt then went had to go somewhere else because they went ahead and drafted somebody top of the draft. And that may happen to Russ. That may happen to Russ. But, you know, he showed up. And he knew, by the way, all the names that he lifted off, 10 names of everybody on offense. He mentioned how Theo Johnson's going to be a weapon. Yep. I mean, he's about it. Yeah. He's totally about it when he shows up. And then he had this to say later on in his presser.
First of all, Aaron Rodgers is a tremendous football player. He's done some amazing things in this league. I've been fortunate to be able to do some great things too. And really what I'm focused on is right now and what we can do here. That's been my focus since I've signed and everything else. And also too, along the way is finding the place that continue to believe in you. Obviously, Pittsburgh was a special, special place for me. You know what? Pittsburgh brought me so much love. But, you know, coming here, obviously being in New York, it's an exciting place to play. It's a place that wants to win. It's a place that knows how to win and has won before. And so for me, it's bringing everything I know, all the experiences, all the touchdowns, all the wins, but also all the love and passion for the game to this locker room. And that's what I'm really excited for. And it's going to be a special, special thing, and we got to go work for it every day and go do it.
That's the answer you're going to get from Russell Wilson when you ask him, "Hey, your plan C to you know to the Giants? They tried Stafford first, they tried Rodgers next, and hey, you're definitely were plan zero to the spot that's waiting for Rodgers while he's standing on the beach, showing up." Coming there for a few hours and then coming back. That's the answer you're going to get from Russ. I mean, maybe for a split moment, he's staring down at the ground, you know, if he's at home or whatever, moment alone, he's just like, man, you know, I once sent Aaron Packin in an NFC championship game, and now this is what's happening. You're never going to get that from him. You're just going to keep getting the same thing, which is Russell Wilson, and you'll have your fun with him because he does, in fact, have his new sign-off.
Oh. What's up, guys? Russell Wilson here, quarterback of the New York Giants. Man, I'm so excited to be here, and let's make sure we make this happen. Let's do whatever it takes. Go Big Blue.
There it is.
Go Big Blue.
Oh, you got the drop already.
Go Big Blue.
Do you have the Broncos country? Let's ride. Do we have that? Do you got to get? Well, you got.
I can search.
I know you got the black and gold. Here we go.
Yep.
Yeah, we played that one before.
Black and gold. Here we go.
Okay, and we can keep going backwards and backwards.
Yep.
In his career.
Broncos country. Let's ride.
I had that right.
Go Hawks.
Go Hawks was the one for a while.
A whole pack full of Badgers.
That's true. Yep. 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 Yep.
Yep. He's great.
That's, dude, have your fun all you want because he's, I don't know if it pierces the skin at all or it makes it tougher. I have no idea. Because it's going to be a tough road. It just feels like a tough sled coming. Because I don't think the Giants are going to walk out of this draft with nobody drafted at the quarterback spot. I don't know if it's going to be the third overall pick, or maybe their second round. I don't know. It just feels like they're going to add a rookie to that veteran laden Winston Wilson draft room, quarterback room. But I think the draft room is going to add one to the quarterback room. And then comes the season and the conversation of is Daboll in trouble? Is Shane in trouble? And that's going to be on the owner to take that pressure off. But right now it's going to be Russ, who after Denver dead capped him and the Steelers were basically ghosted because of the way everything finished. Man, when they were 10-3, it looked like they were one of the best teams in the AFC. We came on the air and gave them their flowers, their due flowers. That they had a shot to win 13 games. All they had to do was just beat the opponents that they have to beat in the playoffs, and they hardly beat one of them, including the playoffs. And whatever happened behind the scenes, whatever happened on the field, in the huddle, turned off enough people in Pittsburgh to say, sure, go visit Cleveland. And while we're waiting for Rodgers, this is not an option. We put a contract on the table for Justin Fields. And now he's shown up in the Giants, and he's going to get his shot. And if he takes the Giants to the playoffs this year and saves jobs and saves himself and his career and gives an opportunity to himself for maybe another team if they don't draft anybody, maybe for the Giants. Can't say it's impossible. But it doesn't look probable right now, that's for sure. But in the meantime, he's still got his new phrase that he'll just keep on. He'll keep
go
on
big blue.
Yeah.
The best thing about us, though, yeah. it's about us.
Yeah. Which is the RES Consulting.
That's our tagline.
Does the big blue bother you?
No, because it's go blue at Michigan.
But the Giants.
Giants are big blue.
Yeah, the Giants,
have been big blue for a while.
I just didn't know.
So he went go big blue, which I've really, I've never really heard a Giant fan say that.
Go big blue.
I think I have either.
You know. So. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We've got Robbie Oots joining us from the tight end community to be drafted in the National Football League. We also have Tom Pelissero to tell us what's going on with the Giants signing and what that means for the draft and anything else going on. He's heading off to the owners meeting where they will vote on a whole bunch of new rules, including no more nose wipes on the field.
I mean, come on.
So we'll talk about all of this on the program. And then Chelsea Handler will be in studio later on. She's got a new Netflix comedy special, which you can see here on Roku. And then yet another New York Times bestseller, her seventh bestseller and her sixth number one book on the New York Times bestseller list called I'll Have What She's Having. Great stuff. And then there's you, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. When we come back, Harold Reynolds will be joining us on The Rich Eisen Show. Hey, Rich Eisen here. I hear from a lot of business owners like you about the work it takes to pursue your passions. So I know how important it is to have the tools that can help keep you moving forward. And with access to world-class business and travel benefits, the American Express Business Platinum Card helps you take your business to the next level. It offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business. Plus, you'll have complimentary access to more than 1,400 airport lounges worldwide, including the Centurion Lounge, so you can keep running your business while you're on the go. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness. Some people just know they could save hundreds on car insurance by checking Allstate first. The same way you know you've got to make sure your lucky jersey is clean on game day or your team might lose. Checking first is smart. So check Allstate first for a quote that could save you hundreds. You're in good hands with Allstate. Savings vary, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois. Let's talk TurboTax, people. You might be sitting there going, wait a minute, Rich. I don't get it. It's not April. Why am I thinking about my taxes now? Why should I? Because with TurboTax, you can have an expert file for you as soon as today. You get a TurboTax expert's undivided attention when you use TurboTax. And they work on your return in real time. Once upon a time, taxes is all about waiting and wondering and worrying. That's three things any fellow football fan can relate to, right? But nowadays, it's all about a TurboTax expert giving your taxes their undivided attention, just like your fantasy league waiver wire. Experts file with 100% accuracy so you can get your best return guaranteed. Know how it's all working for you right now rather than finding out at the last second and wondering if the person who's doing it for you knows what they're doing. With TurboTax, they've got an expert who knows what they're doing all the time. Now this is taxes. Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Stories. We love these stories in sports. J.C. Ascaram is a catcher who will be in Yankee Stadium today in pinstripes. He was a 2017 15th round pick of the O's and then got released in 2022. He became an Uber driver in Miami, was substitute teacher, a food delivery man, and a contractor before he decided to give it one last shot. He raked in AAA last year. He raked in the Dominican League. He raked in the spring. And this was him telling his mom on a FaceTime that he made the Yankees.
Again, mom?
¿Cómo está mi amor aquí hablando con su abuela?
Acabo de hablar con Boone.
Dime.
Vamos para Nueva York. Take a real swing.
Yeah.
We did it. Muchísimo. Hay que comprar un pasaje. I made the team. I will. Dad, I love you. But just wow. That was awesome.
Europe.
Ah, baby. Back on the Rich Eisen Show radio network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by as the Emmy Award winner from MLB Network and my old friend from back in the ESPN days, joining us from the set of MLB Network, lead studio analyst. Happy opening day to you, Harold Reynolds. How you been, HR?
Yeah. I'm good, Rich. Good to see you, man. Yeah, happy opening day.
Same to you. We just played for our TV-only audience the moment where the new Yankee, J.C. Escara, is calling his mom to tell her. And Dad, by the way, I love that part of the FaceTime. He's crying with his mom. And Opa, Dad, I love you too. you know, I get it. You know, that he made the Yankees. You can't make that stuff up, man. It's what opening day's about, right, HR?
No doubt. And you know, the other cool part about it is today he took an Uber to the ballpark.
He did? Did he really?
Yes.
But he didn't drive it. He took it.
He should have drove it and got some credit and got paid for it. Drive himself to the park, but no.
Come on.
Pretty cool, man.
It is great. What was your first opening day like? Do you remember it? HR, what was it back in the day?
Yeah, it's a funny story. We were down to, at the time, we had 25-man rosters in the big leagues, and Darnell Coles and I, roommates from A-ball all the way up, and here we are fighting for the last spot on the team with the Mariners. So we go to Seattle. You know how you play the major league games in the ballpark, the last couple exhibition games. So we're in Seattle, and we're roommates in camp and everything. So he's in one bed. I'm in the other bed. The phone rings in between us. I dive and grab the phone. Hello? It's Hal Keller. Hal Keller says, "Who is this?" I go, "It's Harold." And he goes, "Congratulations, young man. You made the team. Hand it to your buddy." And I hand the phone to Darnell. He goes, "Unfortunately, you're going down."
Oh.
And we're convinced that this day, had Darnell answered the phone, it'd been, "Congratulations, you made the team. Tell your buddy you're going down." And we ended up on this Harold Darnell shuttle for the next month. He'd come up. I saw him in Boston. I'm like, "DC, good to see you." And he goes, "You're going to AAA." I'm like, "Yippee." So that was my opening in the big leagues.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
So the moral of the story is answer the phone first?
Absolutely.
Oh, man. That is amazing. And so let's just dive into the right here and now. Honestly, who's going to beat the Dodgers? Is that it? Is that the conversation of the 2025 season? Who's going to beat the Dodgers? Is that it?
That's got to be the conversation. Yeah, that's it. I mean, there's some clubs that can, on a short series, can definitely beat them, but I don't see them stumbling a whole lot. They'll figure out their combination of rosters, and I'm sure they'll have injuries like everybody else, but it's an incredible team they put together. It's going to be fun to watch. And that guy on the screen right there, I'm telling you, Rich, I don't think I've ever seen anything like it. And I'll take you back to the very first time I saw Shohei Ohtani. So I go to spring training. We had a show then called 30 Clubs in 30 Days. Now it's 30 Clubs in 15 Days. Same thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I show up at camp. Mike Trout's already the best player in baseball. And it's Trout and Justin Upton. And they greet me when I'm coming in. I'm walking in. They're already on the field, finished stretching. And I'm like, "Tell me about Ohtani." And Mike is like, I've never seen power like this ever. And I go, what? And Justin goes, Harold, he's hitting them on the rocks up there in left center field. And I go, but I thought he was a left-handed hitter. They go, he is opposite field. I've never seen power. I'm like, come on, please. And the next thing you know, he starts taking batting practice. And I was like, holy smoke. That was the first year of Ohtani. And now, obviously, 7 years later, the stories continue. But that was the first impression of Mike Trout, who was the best player in baseball at the time. Justin Upton was hitting his 30 homers. They were blown away by him.
And he's a pitcher. You know what I mean?
And he's a pitcher.
Right. And we're going to see that. Right? I mean, like,
yes.
There's no doubt we're going to see the reason why the Dodgers paid him all that money. And, you know, and he was kind enough to defer most of it, which is a conversation for another day, I guess. But we're going to see it. Last year, we just saw the hitting. We saw the 50-50. We saw the greatness there. Now we're going to see both, right? I mean, it's coming, and the question is does it affect him? Does it affect at all, right? I just don't think it will, Harold.
Well, no, he's such an attraction, Rich. I mean, I was fortunate to go to Japan. So I was there for the Cubs-Dodgers series. They played a couple exhibitions before.
Right.
And I'll give you a couple quick stories of his, why I say he's the biggest star on the planet. You can argue LeBron, all those guys, but they don't have another country that watches everything they do. And so Shohei Ohtani, I don't care if he put his toe out of the dugout, people went bananas. And so story number one, I'd never seen this ever before. He gets in the batter's box to hit. And as soon as he's walking up, they're going nuts, gets in the box, he's ready to hit. Pitcher gets the sign. As soon as the pitcher gets the sign, it goes dead silent. 50,000 people, you can hear a pin drop. They deliver the pitch, and he'd foul it off or take it or whatever, and the crowd would go, oh! I mean... And then back to silence once the pitcher got in. It was incredible. Mm. And the other big scene I saw was when he went out to throw bullpen. And he's just throwing out in the outfield, long toss, stretching out. He came out of the dugout, and they went bananas. Everybody had their cameras. And he got out in the outfield, and he started throwing. And I'm sure he had a little extra adrenaline. But he's throwing the ball from center field to the left field line. On a dot. I mean, just a rocket. Probably 95 miles an hour from center field to the line. Probably 200 feet. Not 60 feet, 6 inches. It was incredible.
Man, and the thing about him, too, is the ease with which he does everything. And, yeah. You know, the only other athlete I've ever seen who does everything eye-popping with such ease and never sweats, Roger Federer in tennis, where it's just like, yeah, anybody beat him, and B, make him sweat if you can't beat him. You know what I mean? Just like make him struggle, make him look pedestrian. I think that's where we're at with Ohtani right now. That's where we're at with him.
No doubt about it. And the other thing I noticed, you know, the Japanese culture, you know, everybody would remember when Hideki Nomo came over,
sure,
and he would hit a batter and he'd tip his cap like, oh, I'm sorry. You know, they're very polite. Mm-hmm. They're always bowing. Now Ohtani's part of the Dodgers and he's doing his little exercises on that after a double and all the movements. And now I'm watching high school baseball in Japan in the hotel. And these kids are hitting a double and they're doing all these crazy things that Ohtani does. It's just opened up the whole culture to something that I think they're even adjusting to as they follow his growth over here and everything that he does. It's incredible.
So who can beat the Dodgers? Give me some favorites in your mind who can, whether it's the American League, somebody gets to see him in 7 games, or it's somebody in the National League who can take him out.
Well, I don't think anybody can beat him in 7 games. I don't think that happens. 5-game series, catch them in a short series, you might be able to beat them. I like the Phillies. They made their run. I hope their window hasn't fully closed on them after losing to the Padres after the big Harper home run a couple years ago. I would hope to see them continue to be a team that's affordable that could do that. The Mets could put together a club. I still think Sandy Alcantara with the Marlins is going to be a big difference. If the Mets were able to trade for him and put him on their staff, with and they got Soto, Lindor, and Alonso. Those three guys at the top of the order is good at three anybody in baseball. And so that makes the Mets a team that possibly could be somebody to reckon with. I thought the Padres up until the end of last year were a team that could give the Dodgers a run. They've totally lapped them now. And that's really it. I don't see much. In the American League, Toronto's got great pitching, but I don't think they have the team that can handle it. But nobody's going to beat them in a seven-game series. That's a wash. It's over.
So, too deep. So you're saying the NLC or the NLDS, that's the short series that can alter the outcome more than maybe the World Series?
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
How about that? Harold Reynolds here. Okay. Harold Reynolds here on the Rich Eisen Show. When are we seeing, the tap into the helmet and let's replay everything? When do we see that on balls and strikes, Harold? When do we see this? When do we see this?
I can see it maybe in a couple of years.
Really?
I didn't think they would take to it as much as they have. But if you look at the rules that came in, the strike zone, the stolen base rule, all those things were kind of, the players were like, no, we don't like it. Now it's become part of the culture. And what baseball's done on a brilliant side is they test all these things in the minor leagues. So before they brought the other pitch count and the timer and all that stuff, they had 8,000 minor league games they tested it in.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's happening with the, I get to check the ABS system and all that, they're already doing it in the minor leagues. They've done it for 3 years.
Looks
so most
to
of
me.
The players that
Looks
are coming up to the big leagues now
yeah.
have been doing this already in the minors. So with our sport getting younger, every year it seems like a new influx of young talent is coming in. They're used to the system. So it might be here sooner. I thought we would never see it. Now I think we might see it in the next couple of years.
I hope so. You know, Harold, every now and then on my Instagram algorithm, what will pop up is a certain individual getting thrown out at home plate in the Old Kingdom by Bo Jackson on a straight shot throw from the warning track. And that person at home plate who got thrown out was, who was that person? Who got thrown
it was
out?
Fast. I tell Bo, I made you, man. I made you. And I'm telling you, Rich, to this day, it was probably 4 years ago when I slow-mo'd it to mm-hmm. see if I was really out or not. I thought it was safe for probably 20 years. It's still the most amazing and shocking play ever. The ball's hitting the corner. I'm running. The play's in front of me. So I know I'm going to score. Mm-hmm. I was stealing on the play. It's extra innings. He's got to go in the corner, hit a relay, and throw me out. This game's over. It's what I'm thinking while I'm running. I had no idea. As I'm coming into home, getting ready to slide, the next batter was Darnell Coles. He's telling me to slide, and I'm still confused. Bob Boone, the catcher, had kind of walked off. And then he came back, and I'm thinking he's trying to deke me, make me slide for whatever reason. And then I get tagged out, and I was dumbfounded. And I had no idea that Bo caught the ball, spun, and threw it in the air without a stride. And I had him on hot stove. You're going to love this, Rich.
Please.
He was on hot stove, and Bo goes, I have breaking news. I go, what's that? He goes, I broke my jock on that. I turned and threw so hard. That's why when he's going back, you think he's tucking his shirt in. He's trying to adjust his jock because he broke it.
Come on. Wow. My take on watching it over and over again, and I'm keen to ask you this because I've been wondering.
Oh, yeah.
You're upset about it, about being called out, and I don't blame you. Because it appears to me the home plate umpire went up the third base line because even he thought the play wouldn't be at home, that because the third base ump went up the line to deal with what was going on in the corner, and the home plate ump went to third to try and
right.
potentially call a play there that had been vacated by his colleague to go up the line to see what it was. Did the home plate umpire call you out at home from third base? On that play,
no,
Harold?
Honestly, I don't remember. I know the rotation was all messed up. I think the other well, he was they came out to argue with him.
Yeah.
But you know, they had the whole buddy system. I don't remember. I gotta go back and look at it. But I remember the rotation was all funky.
So I'm watching it.
Yeah, because you went up the line.
You went up the line. So the home plate umpire.
You passed the home plate umpire on the way to the plate.
But the way you slid, Harold, he gets you on the left foot right before you touch home.
Yeah, it was a courtesy slide. Man. I mean, I really thought it was just like, oh, I'll just slide through, or else I would have slid away, tried to hook slide away from the tag or whatever. I really thought Bob was just faking like a throw was coming to decoy. And then he slapped the tag on me. Still amazing.
It's still
but I made Bo. You know, Bo thinks he knows everything. I made Bo. Last Bo what story.
Please.
And it'd be quick. I know you don't have a whole lot of time.
Go for it, please.
All right, so... He had already ran over Bosworth, okay? He'd thrown me out at home. This is all like in a calendar year, all right? So the next year he's taking batting practice. He'd come out and hit early, and I'm hitting early first, and he's like, Reynolds, you know switch hitter. Bo know everything. Now Bo knows out there. He's going to his head, right? So he takes a round of batting practice. His last swing, he turns over left-handed. I played in the Kingdome for 10 years. I saw 5 balls hit into the 4th or 5th deck, the final deck up there, depending on how you looked at it. 5 balls in 10 years. He turns over, and he tells me, you know switch hitter, and he hits the ball left-handed into the upper deck. One of my 5 balls in 10 years that I saw go up there. And he drops his bat down and walks up. True story.
It is... unreal how many Bo Jackson stories sound like fables, but really happened. You know what I mean? It's unreal.
Yeah.
And you've seen it. You've been part. You were on the business end of one, and then you've witnessed another. Harold, you're the best, man. Good to see you.
Appreciate you. I love your show, man.
Thank
Keep
you.
Going, Rich.
Back
Outstanding.
At you. Back at
How
you.
Many years is this for you now?
This is my 11th doing this one, 22 for NFL Network. And
awesome.
And you and
awesome.
I go way back, Harold, and it's not just to ESPN. I'll just tell this quick story before Harold leaves.
Yeah.
So I was a Northwestern University Medill School of Journalism student in Washington, D.C. I was a student in Washington, D.C., breaking in, trying to dream of being on ESPN one day. I was recording, I was doing a piece for the Orange County News Channel in Orange County, and they're coming into, to Baltimore to play the Orioles in Camden Yards were the Angels. And they're like, go cover it. I'm like, sure. And the first person I found in the dugout to talk to about it, because this person was, you know, playing, you know, you played for the Orioles too, right, Harold? You played for the Orioles? Okay.
Yeah, so they were,
okay, so I'm talking to you about all this. And the first person I sought out with a microphone who I interviewed for the Medill School of Journalism for OCNN was this man. Harold
Look
Reynolds.
At that.
And you were,
I had no idea.
You really didn't want to talk about it, to be honest with you. I think you were on a losing streak. You weren't in the best mood, but you still were a professional. And then we worked together. And now here we are on this program.
That's awesome, man. I'm telling you. Love it.
Look at
I
us. Love it. Have a great opening day.
All right, bud. That was back when we had hair. Now
look at us now. Two handsome men. Good to see you, Harold.
Great to see you. Thanks for having me on.
Right
Appreciate
back at you. That's Harold Reynolds,
All right.
Everybody, back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Fun
Love
stuff,
it.
Man.
So great.
That's the truth. I was a little cub reporter with a lot of hair, wondering what am I going to do? How am I going to break into this business? But I kept on doing pieces and pieces and pieces. And Harold did not want to talk. Certainly to a college kid, you know, before a game. But he was great. He did it. And then we wound up working together. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the program. Your phone calls and Tom Pelissero, Robbie Utz, Chelsea Handler. That's how we're rolling today.
This episode is brought to you by Universal Pictures. From Universal Pictures and Blumhouse come a storm of terror from the director of The Shallows, The Woman in the Yard. Don't let her in. Where does she come from? What does she want? When will she leave? Today's the day. The Woman in the Yard. Only in theaters March 28th.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. I don't know if you knew this, but anyone can get the same premium wireless for $15 a month plan that I've been enjoying. It's not just for celebrities. So do like I did and have one of your assistant's assistants switch you to Mint Mobile today. I'm told it's super easy to do at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. Intro rate first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See full terms at mintmobile.com.
Give me a good Deion story. You got a good one?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. Inside the park home run. Hey, look that up sometime. You're talking about, people say, what's your, that's one of my top three most exciting moments ever. I'm coaching third base in New York. He and Bo Jackson are jawing back and forth. Bo's getting on him about, and he's playing center field for Kansas City. Deion's playing center field for us. And they're jawing back and forth before the series starts. You know, Deion can't tackle. He can outrun Bo back and forth. It's getting pretty ugly, if you remember. So the game starts out. Bo hits home run his first two at bats. Yeah, just bombs. It makes a great catch. And I could tell Deion's kind of down. I'd had him in Albany a couple years before, Double A. We'd gotten pretty close. In fact, he's still, anyway, I'll shorten it up. But he goes.
No, go for it. Go for it.
He's in the dugout. He's in the dugout. And I go, what's wrong, man? I said, come on, a lot of game left. Let's go. Anyway, he hits the ball in the right center field. Pull it up sometime. It's so exciting.
We just showed it. We'll show it again as you tell the story. Go for it. Yeah, go for it. Yeah.
Man, you're good.
No, my crew's good.
Anyway.
My crew's good.
So, right center field. He comes around second. He's got the Jerry curls working everything. Now, Bo Dobson's ball separates his shoulders. I think out the rest of the season. Nobody knows that part of it. Now, he's starting to shut it down around second, put the chicken flap down, and coast in the third. Nobody can run a triple out like him. And we haven't scored a run in a month with that team. And he comes around third, and I start pumping him to get him going. He's got this look on his face like, oh, my God, this crazy guy's going to send me. So here we go. We're coming. McFarland, I think, is the catcher. There's a relay coming from, might have been Biancolano, I'm not sure. He's out by about two steps, whatever, but they short hop the catcher. He blocks the ball. Derwin Merrill's the umpire from Hooks, Texas. Now Deion jumps over the catcher, comes back. As a matter, can he get his hand on the plate before McFarland can retrieve the ball and put it on top of his hand? He's safe by a finger. I come back in the dugout after the inning. He goes by me. He goes, brother, what are you doing? I go, D, man, I can't let Bo show you up like that. You had your shot there, and you took it. He goes, dang, man, you're serious, aren't you? I said, yeah, I am. Deion never cussed. Never.
I know.
Beautiful man. Every baseball team he played on in the minor leagues, he was the most loved guy.
I know. He still does. I mean, his face will light up when you talk Hensley Mullins with him. When you talk Bam Bam with him. And I believe
He took BP with us in Baltimore and hit three balls out. I think the guy can play tomorrow. It's ridiculous. One of the greatest athletes I ever saw. Never seen anybody run like that from first and second on soil base. He'd almost wait till the ball got to home plate and now run the ball.
He's the best.
Taking speed.
I love these stories. I mean, and the Bo Jackson story that you just heard from Harold Reynolds, that's why Jeff Perlman's book, which you still have yet to read, right? You haven't read Jeff Perlman's book on Bo Jackson?
I've read the first few chapters.
It's so great.
Yeah, I got to get it.
It's so great. That's why it's called The Last Folk Hero.
Yep.
Because, you know, Jeff's position on this, if you will, is that Bo did all this stuff before anybody could document it like this with their phone, right?
Yep.
And so the stories like Bo, that Harold was saying, I have never seen a ball hit in this part of the kingdom with the exception of one hand. I could count on one hand. And Bo went left-handed in batting practice and cracked one there. Now, invariably, there will be somebody who's there recording it.
Yep.
Yeah. Because it's Bo Jackson just grabbing a bat left-handed. You don't think if somebody had a phone, they would pop it right out and shoot it and capture that?
Absolutely.
So Bo's accomplishments were the last one human being to be having to be told by word of mouth.
Yep.
Amazing. Back on the Rich Eisen Show. Great stuff with Harold Reynolds. The Hyundai Getaway Sales Event is going on right now. Get that Hyundai car or SUV you've always wanted because it's the best time to do it. Plus, every new Hyundai comes with America's best warranty and 3 years or 36,000 miles of limited complimentary maintenance. Don't think you can get away with all that? Well, guess what? The Hyundai Getaway Sales Event's going on right now. Don't wait. Visit your local Hyundai dealer today. It's a great day for a new Hyundai. Hey, man, crazy. On Wednesday, the LeBronversation, as Pat called it on his show. Great name. Well, I think Pat thinks about the... I would peg that that was a Pat thing. Pat's the one who came up with the showdown in Starbucks. Remember that he had like the tail of the tape between
right.
Ian and
Jordan Schultz. Yeah.
At any rate, long story short, the LeBronversation, LeBron just starts a massive ESPN TV food fight. I mean, massive. Says all sorts of provocative things on that front. The 70s game and how Giannis could get 250 points in a game in the 70s. It says all of that stuff. Then goes and plays a game in Indianapolis against the Pacers in which he enters the fourth quarter with a grand total of 2 points and zero field goals. And his streak of games scoring at least 10 that dates back to 2007 is on the line. And it looks bleak. And he gets a double-double and tips in the game winner with no time left. Is that the most LeBron day you could think of
in recent memory? And then his social media activity after the game.
Yeah, it was incredible.
I mean, it looked like he's saying all of this stuff. Well, he taped it the day before anyway.
Yeah, they had taped that on
Tuesday.
But it airs
the day of the game. And then in the game, it looks like he's about to have his first single-digit game in 15 years. Well, more actually, 18 years.
18 years.
And instead, he still winds up with a double-double and tips in the game winner to break up the Lakers' five-game losing streak, and they need it. Now, tonight's another game. We'll see if he plays in the back-to-back.
To put that in perspective, the last time LeBron didn't score double figures, Cooper Flagg was a newborn.
Yeah, I mean, it's been that long. So it was so close that he, first time in 18 years, couldn't walk the walk and back up the talk. But it didn't happen. As a matter of fact, we're all talking about, there's the game. Luka didn't make it. There's LeBron. That was a wild finish. That was a fun game between two teams that have designs on shocking top seeds in the playoffs. Hour two of this show coming up. And
just don't claim to be my best friend. That's all.
I mean, the stuff listen, Stephen A, I think we all know, soaks this in. And he went on his YouTube show, right?
He did the first 15 minutes of First Take today.
I'm sure. And so you're in his lane now. Like he's used to this. And as a matter of fact, I think he just soaks it in. And that's like one of his superpowers is to soak this in and return fire. And I'm sure he doesn't enjoy the things that LeBron said about him, but he can hold his own clearly. The one I was just bummed for Windhorst because I don't think Brian ever
don't either
claims to be like friends with him, right?
And the people kind of come into Brian's defense yesterday, and John Buccigross, a bunch of people were just
nobody
like,
ever.
Brian's never said this.
Never. Yeah. Now he has clearly, him being around LeBron at the very early parts of his career helped get Windhorst on a lot of radar screens.
Yeah, he covered.
He was there.
He covered LeBron in high school. They went to the same high school.
And so LeBron's known him for a long time, but I don't think, and obviously, listen, LeBron has made many careers happen. Like that's what happens when you are as iconic as him. Like, coaches' careers get made and teammates' careers get made and
reporters'
careers get made. Careers. Exactly.
They helped tell his story early on. And Brian was that for a while.
I saw that. I'm like,
that was a bummer.
That's a foul. That's,
he kind of poked fun of his weight too. And
that's like a six personal foul. He fouled out on that one.
That was unfortunate.
Because also, Brian's not going to clap back on the Hoop Collective. You know what I mean? Like, that's not... Because his world is still trading in information, and LeBron is at the center of that universe. Man. So I don't think he's going to defend him or like Stephen A is like, okay, now it's on.
Yeah.
Right. Like that,
you know,
he'll just tighten his tie and just make sure that that microphone clip is on appropriately and off he goes.
I get it. He wants to clap back, but it's kind of like with Kendrick and Drake. It's like, maybe you should just take this L and move
I don't know. On. I mean, L, it's just, but no. This is, I mean, and ESPN's into it too. I got an alert on my phone this morning from ESPN to say,
here,
you know, Stephen A's responded. Back in the day, this Bristol would want to just like stamp this thing right out.
Yeah, bury this. Yeah.
We're in a different world now. Yeah.
Could you imagine Stu just tearing somebody up back in
the
day?
No, it's just a different time.